Well, good morning again. It's nice to see you this morning. If you're a member of our congregation here at London Road Baptist Church in Lowestoft, it's great you've clicked online again. If you're not and you're a visitor, my name's Neil. I'm the senior minister here at London Road Baptist Church, and it's a real privilege and pleasure for you to join us this morning. If you've just stumbled on us and you've done it through YouTube and not through our church website, if you just go on London Road Baptist Church's website, click on the link via the website, you'll get a more fuller, full production of what we do here on a Sunday morning when we do our recordings. And this morning we've got Linda with us, we've got Stuart, we've got Onaway, we've got Mark, got Abby sharing during the service, and we've got Roy on lighting and on security. So I've just got a privilege this morning that along with Fox, who's going to edit this video and make sure it's out for distribution by lunchtime, it's a real privilege for me to have friends and to be able to pray at social distancing just with those involved purely with the production of this video. I'm hoping, and you're hoping, we're all praying that we'll all hope to get back together sometime in the future, but I just recognise it's tough for many of you at home, it's tough for myself, and it's tough for you, but it was good that just listening to one or two of my friends this morning, some people see us had a good week. We've had people with new jobs, we've had people who's had good times at work this week. So even in this pandemic, there's things to thank God for. But what we're going to thank God for this morning, I'm still sort of looking at this whole Christmas theme, the fact that God came into the world in Jesus Christ, and we should not just see that as a seasonal event that's over. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about the impact of what Christmas meant eternally, a bit like I talked about last week. Let me just read to you from John's Gospel. I'm going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 6, and John later on talks about the fact that this Jesus came from heaven, that he was already pre-existing in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this Trinitarian understanding that we have as Christians, and part of that Trinitarian, part of the God became human and made his dwelling amongst us. That's what John says at the beginning of John's Gospel. But this is what he says later on, recording Jesus' words directly. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given to me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks at the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What a wonderful thing to think about with our futures, that this godly promise that because we believe in his Son Jesus, we shall be raised up on that last day. Well, we're going to have an opening song now. It's called Light of the World, and it sums up a little bit what I'm going to say, but it talks about the fact that this light, God became human, light came into the world, and it stepped out of the darkness and came to earth. And that's what we're going to sing about now. Light of the world, you step down into darkness.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Earth you created, all full of sin. altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down.
So, Lord, we thank you that on that cold first Bethlehem day, that morning, that you stepped, in one sense, out of the darkness of the eternal sort of cosmos, that you stepped from heaven into darkness and then you came to earth. Thank you that you came to the earth that you created, and that for our sake you became poor. Thank you, Lord, that you somehow created me to adore you, and I just don't often understand, do I choose you, did you choose me? And there's all that complexity in those theological arguments, Lord, but I just want to say this morning that putting all that to one side, I'm glad I'm chosen, and I'm glad that I know you. And I want to declare afresh this morning, you're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy, and you're altogether wonderful for me. And I want to say afresh that here I am, maybe isolating at home, maybe listening in the car, maybe participating in this service, but I'm here this morning because I want to worship you. And so I bow down before you and I say afresh to you that you are my God. Thank you, Lord, that you allow me to say that to you as one who often messes up prior to acknowledging who you are. And so thank you, Lord, that you came for a purpose. You came to offer forgiveness to people like me and people like us who mess up. And so we say sorry for our mistakes, recognizing that you love to forgive, and that makes you altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful for me. Amen. And in a moment, it's really good. We're doing this season where we're doing life in lockdown, and one of our very respected, highly respected leaders, Abby's going to come in a minute, and she's going to share something about lockdown, bring our reading to us, and introduce some things to us. So it's a really good. I've got Abby, and Abby's going to come up. We're just going to stop the video now while we resort out, because obviously we've got to socially distance. But Abby's going to come and share something of her life in lockdown, bring our prayers, and bring our reading. So I'm going to hand over to you now, Abby. That's great.
Morning, everyone. I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a cough on today, so if I start coughing, I do apologise. So I've been asked to come and speak to you about life in lockdown. I don't know how many of you listened to John last week. He stole everything that I was going to say this week, so I've had to look at it a bit differently. But I really related to what John had to say, particularly the bit about living at work rather than working from home. And that's been a real battle as a social worker, being based at home. I have a fairly large house, but I've filled it all with children. So the only quiet place in my home is my bedroom, which is where I've been working from. And from my bedroom, I've had to give evidence in court and be cross-examined. From my bedroom, I've had some really difficult conversations with the people that I work with. So social work in a bedroom, it has been really, really challenging. And my place of safety, my place of rest, has become quite a difficult place to be at times. As a family, we've been through a bit of periods of tough times during COVID. We sent our son Ben off to uni for the first time at the end of September. Within a week, he had COVID. And I personally found it very difficult the first time he was away from home to know that he was poorly, but you know, praise God, it didn't affect him too badly at all. My other daughter Olivia has had quite a few health issues during COVID that aren't COVID related. There's been the pressure of juggling homeschooling and working. And can I just say, if you've got primary age children and you're doing that, I'm absolutely in awe of you, because even with high school children, I found that quite difficult. One of the other things I found difficult is Zoom fatigue. And thank you to Keith, who sent me an article last week about it. But just being in meeting after meeting all day, every day on Zoom has been absolutely exhausting. But I spent some time thinking about the positives and what's been good during COVID. And I've probably got more negatives than positives, if I'm really honest, but my positives, I think, are bigger than my negatives in terms of the impact. I really feel that COVID has brought us together as a family. So I have four children, all of whom are teenagers now. And it's very easy with teenagers to fall into a pattern of life where everybody does their own thing but lives together. And actually, being locked down together has meant that we've really come together as a family. We've spent time together. My children have actually worked out that they quite like each other and quite enjoy spending time together. And I think that's been the biggest blessing for me, is just seeing my children all together and with us as well, just spending time. It's been a time to reevaluate things. It's been a time to think about what has been part of my life that is important and what's been part of my life which isn't so important, and just to really reflect on that and think about what I want life to be like after COVID. I'm really thankful for my job. It's been really, really hard and really, really busy. But I know that through this period, I've not experienced some of the stress that other people have around work and finances and keeping going. It's been a time whereby I've seen really good, positive and good fellowship. The week before last, we have Saturday night movie nights in our house, and we watched Evan Almighty. And I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't, please do, because it's a really good film. And Morgan Freeman is God in this. And there's a line that always stands out to me. And I might not have got the words exactly right, but it's something like that you need to change the world one step at a time by random acts of human kindness. And I love that phrase. And in COVID, I have seen that more than ever. Just people just randomly calling me, texting me, dropping flowers off at the door. And also I've tried to do that for others as well, but I've never known a time like it for those random acts of human kindness. And it has changed my world. At times when I've been struggling and down, and something's dropped through my door box or been placed outside my door, I know that it's those random acts of human kindness that have got me through. And just finally, the last positive is actually this lockdown, I think, and we've all been talking about it here, is harder than the first one. It's harder because the weather's miserable. It's harder because we've been through it all before, and it feels like there's no end. But actually, I'm really thankful for the vaccination. Although I've been based at home, I've been out and about in people's houses just about every day. I've traveled long distances, been into central London, things like that. And last Sunday, about this time, I actually got my vaccination. And, you know, I can see that the government are working really hard to get everybody vaccinated. So there are positives and there's hope. So that concludes really my life in lockdown. It's been tough, but it's been a time of blessing as well. I'm just going to lead us in prayer today. But first of all, I'm just going to have a little cough so I don't do it in the prayer. So let's pray. Father God, our salvation, our hope, and our deliverer, in this time of confusion, loss, and suffering, we choose to trust in you. In this time of separation, when we cannot meet together, we choose to stand together in unity as brothers and sisters and to shower one another with love and support. In this time of isolation, we choose to remain close to you, our Heavenly Father. We pray for all those who have experienced the loss of those they love. May they know your overwhelming love and comfort. We remember those who are experiencing difficulties due to the pandemic, those who are sick, those who are struggling with their mental health, for those who are alone. We remember our children, particularly those for whom school is more than a place of learning, but is also a refuge from the difficulties they face at home. We pray for families, for those juggling work in homeschooling, for those whose family relationships are being strained, for our single parents who are having to manage this alone, for our elderly and those with disabilities or health conditions. We pray for strength at this time of difficulty and that their strength may be found in you. We pray for our leaders. Please give wisdom, understanding, and direction. We thank you that you have given us scientists whose knowledge has led to the development of a vaccine. We pray that you will bless those who have kept our country going, for those who have continued to work when so much else has stopped, for our teachers, our funeral directors, our mechanics, our shop workers, for our health and social care staff, to name but a few. Again, we pray for strength for them and protection, particularly remembering those within our church. We place before you members of the church who are ill and for those who care for them at this time, remembering especially Hilary and Andrew and their daughter Kirsten, Fliss Chapman, Janet Beckett, Audrey Axon, Irene and Rick Hughes, Clive and Marilyn Patterson, Dave and Madeline Halliday, David and Christine Squibb, and Vi Cropley, and any others that we bring to mind that we know of right now. And finally, we pray for Neil as he speaks to us today. We ask that you speak through him into our hearts and into our minds. Amen. And finally, I'm going to share the reading. It's a short one today, and it's from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. It says this: "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." We're just going to watch a short video before Neil speaks to us now. Thank you.
Thanks, Abby, for sharing out your thoughts in lockdown and introducing that wonderful piece of music from Handel's Messiah. You've got a little bit of culture this morning. Who would have ever thought that me, a northerner, would be cultured and having pieces from Handel's Messiah? But I've got to say that there is so much in Handel's Messiah that I actually like, and it's probably one of my favourite pieces of music. I just love those other pieces, like I Know My Redeemer Liveth, based on what Job says. But in this part of Handel's Messiah, this is sort of the climax of him saying, do you realise what happened at Christmas? And it's so easy for our thoughts this month to be dominated by COVID-19 rather than the greatest event ever to take place on earth that we celebrated. I don't know what Christmas was this year, but do you realise Christmas was 4 weeks ago this weekend? But the greatest event being, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, captured in that great musical masterpiece. And with such a thing that has happened and continues to influence our lives, COVID-19 should pale into insignificance, because the Messiah came. Now, do you know what an aptronism is? I think I've said that wrong, aptronism. Well, an aptronism is when somebody's name or occupation lines up perfectly with what they do or what they are. Here's some examples I found on the internet. There's a barber called Dan Druff. There's a dentist called Dr. Pulling. And there's a dermatologist called Dr. Whitehead. You know, names are important to God. In Genesis, we get the fact, and it's there on the screen, but God called the light day. He called the darkness night. He called the expanse of the earth sky. He called the dry land ground. I don't know if you realize, but Adam's first job, because man was made in God's image, was to name the animals. So naming things is important to God. It's your name, not your number, that is written in the book of life. It's always pagan societies and evil societies that give people numbers. God gives you a name. And names, we know in history, often relate to some aspect of one's life or character. So we get Alexander the Great, we get William the Conqueror. And just like the birth of Jesus, Matthew records the importance of Jesus's name. Here it is in Matthew 1:21, and we get these words: she will give birth to a son. This is the angel talking to Joseph. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus actually means Jehovah saves. That was Jesus. We use the word Jesus, but in the context of Palestine 2,000 years ago, it would be like calling somebody in lower stuff today, Jehovah saves, God saves. And so we pick that up later up in the book of Acts. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which men must be saved. So Jesus coming to earth is central to the saving of human beings. But the story never started 2,000 years ago. As Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, that's the Greek first letter and last letter, the beginning to the end, he has always, is always, and ever will be. And so this morning, 4 weeks after Christmas, in this COVID-19 pandemic, I'm going to zero in four names given to Jesus 700 years before he was born. Let's quickly set the context. Now, for unto us a child is born, that describes the birth of a baby. To us, a son is given. Jesus is God's son given as a gift. Now, the theology in these two verses is very deep, as I like to say. The child that was born in Bethlehem and the gift of the eternal Son is given to us. The Son wasn't born 2,000 years ago. Jesus the Son has eternally existed with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. It's the child that was born, the incarnation of God, the Son was given because the Son always existed. Now, for those who like a little bit of deeper theology, last week we began with the song This I Believe. And This I Believe is a song that is based on a thing called the Nicene Creed. And the Nicene Creed was written in AD 325 in a place in Turkey called Nicaea. And that's when all the early church got together and became Orthodox and said, look, we want, if you're going to be a Christian and not a cult, you need to understand this Trinitarian understanding that the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit always have existed and coexisted and are one. And that's why the Nicene Creed says this: we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. In other words, always been. Jehovah Witnesses would say that God made Jesus 2,000 years ago. We believe that Jesus has always existed. And one being, the Nicene Creed says, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. The created nature of Jesus created the earth for Father God. And the Nicene Creed is which separates us from other cults and other religions of how we see Jesus eternally. And all the other religions believe in Jesus. Hindus see him as a good prophet. Muslims see him as an anointed one. But we see him as God. On top of that, it says the government will be on his shoulders. In other words, he is both the Redeemer and ruler of all. And Paul later expanded this eternal significance of this statement when he said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the sun. Your knee, my knee, everybody who's ever lived knee, everybody who will ever live, Joe Biden's knee, he's been in the news this week, Kim Jong-un's knee, but even the knee of somebody like Mother Teresa. Everybody will have to acknowledge who Jesus is. As Clint Eastwood would say, the good, the bad, and the ugly, or the good, the bad, and the powerful. And the phrase, and he will be called, in the Hebrew, that frame, he will be called, it means he justly bears this name. He justly bears this name. And look at those names right now. First of all, he is profound, wonderful. And the adjective wonderful refers to the actions that are beyond bounds of human power, so can only be translated as astonishing or amazing or extraordinary. We're saying that this was a wonderful event, and that word wonderful is beyond human explanation. We've reduced our understanding of the word wonderful. Wonderful beyond human explanation. His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. His teaching was wonderful. His miracles were wonderful. His transfiguration was wonderful. His death was wonderful. His resurrection was wonderful. His ascension into heaven was wonderful. And that's why we opened with that song that said, light of the world, you stepped out of the darkness. But we said, you're altogether wonderful. You're altogether lovely. He's not only profound, but he's pastoral, because he's a counsellor. And I just want to say, as your counsellor, he's always available. In this pandemic, Jesus is still available. If you can't get an appointment with your GP, you can get an appointment 24/7 with Jesus Christ, and he gives you his undivided attention. You know, one of my shortfalls is I'm a bad listener. I actually listen to everything people say, but people perceive I don't, and that's a weakness. But this God listens to you intently. As your counselor, he gives you his undivided attention. And so if you're isolating at home, Jesus is giving you undivided attention now. And as your counselor, he wants to comfort you. As your counselor, he wants to guide you in the right way. As your counselor, he wants to enable you. We see that Jesus gives profound counsel to people in life, in this pandemic. Life is filled with decisions, with details and disasters. And that's why we need this wonderful counselor. And Jesus has counsel for every crisis, for every human plan and every human problem. He has a plan. And then it goes on, it says, he's powerful. It says he's a mighty God. And the adjective of the Hebrew means strong one, the powerful, valiant warrior. It means the all-powerful one. When we say that God is powerful or a mighty God, we're saying that compared with anything else, that is unmighty. He is profound in his counsel, and he has the power to accomplish what he wills. As the counselor, he makes the plans. As the mighty God, he makes the plans work. And Jesus has been given all power in heaven and on earth. And that's why Jesus says right at the end of his gospel in Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this title tells us that Jesus is not only the Son of God, he also is God the Son. The baby born in the feeding trough is the King of Glory. The humble carpenter of Nazareth is also the mighty architect of the universe. He made the lot. He not only tells his subjects what to do as a wonderful counselor, but he can also energize them. He can energize you. He can energize me because he's the mighty God. And Jesus can handle anything because he's all powerful. He healed the lame, the blind, the sick. He performed mighty miracles. He calmed the storm and he brought Lazarus back to life. And therefore he can do the impossible right now. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us those things so we know what happened. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, these things still happen. It's us who choose not to live in the dynamic and the all-powerful. Jesus is still all-powerful to perform healings, to perform miracles, to calm storms, and I would even say to raise the dead. And therefore, he can do in this pandemic the impossible in your life right now. And fourthly, he is personal. He's an everlasting father. And that was new for the Jews to understand that he's not just a mighty God, but he's a father as well. God in Jesus, he's come near. I love that when one writer says, do you know, God put skin on and came in Jesus. But even putting skin on is failing to understand the incarnation. God became human. We don't believe in a God of graven images, but the God who lived and still lives amongst us now. He is everlasting, that is before, above, and beyond time, and he lives forever. He is peaceful, it says. He is the Prince of Peace. And this phrase can equally be translated from the Hebrew, the Prince who comes. Coming brings peace. The angels announce this at his birth in Luke's gospel. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace to all men on whom his favor rests. You know, if you're listening to this morning, God's favour rests on you, and that's why you're listening. And I've often said in all my sermons, in the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom. It's a greeting still used still in the Jewish community. And when it's used as a greeting, it's about both wholeness and harmony. It's a wish for outward freedom from disturbance, as well as an inward sense of well-being. It's a total peace. And the Bible describes at least three spheres or planes of peace. Peace with God, that's the vertical dimension. The peace of God, that takes place internally. And peace with others. When we have peace with God and we experience the peace of God, we can then extend that peace horizontally. But you know, you can have peace in this pandemic. Peace in the pandemic is available for you. And these names given to Jesus 700 years ago, before he was born, continue to give us hope now in January 2021 years later. He is profound, he is pastoral, he is powerful, he is personal, he is peaceful, and the good news is that we can experience that right now, right where we are. And I want to say, have you experienced these expressions of Emmanuel? Emmanuel, God is with us. And because God is right now with us, Jesus wants to be your wonderful counselor. He longs to give you his profound counsel. You know, the next time you need advice or something, discipline yourself to seek him and to seek his word first. All you have to do is ask. He wants right now to be your mighty God. He can't wait to demonstrate his powerful character to you now. I just want to say, what heavy burden are you carrying right now? Because this same Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Give it to him and ask him to show himself to you powerfully. And instead of being fearful, put your faith in the one who can do both the improbable and the impossible. He wants right now to be your eternal and everlasting Father. He wants to embrace you with his personal comfort. You might feel isolated this morning. Why not ask God for a cuddle? Why not ask him for a hug? That seems a weird thing, doesn't it, for me to say? But why not give it a go after this sermon? Why not just say, God, give me a hug, and open yourself up to God? As a father, he understands. But you know, none of this is simply automatic. Because if you jump back to verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the most important part of this passage is the first three words, for to us. And that's by simply asking Jesus into your life if you haven't already. And as we prepare for this year ahead, COVID-19 or not, let's never forget, though the world thinks Christmas is seasonal, God intends Christmas to be personal every day for those who know Jesus. And finally, right now, he longs to be your Prince of Peace. Peace before the pandemic, peace in the pandemic, and peace after the pandemic, and peace forever in eternity. And human words can only partially explain the real wonder of the reality captured by Isaiah when he wrote, for unto us a child is born. Handel did a cracking job and did his best with the Messiah. But let me simply say to you afresh this morning, for unto us a child is born. Unto you a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And you hang on to this, in this pandemic, because that overshadows everything, the coming of Jesus. Well, I've got another little short video for you to reflect on. It's another look at Handel's Messiah, "For unto us a child is born." And maybe just reflect as these words come up on the screen afresh. Take them in. Don't listen to them intellectually. Take them into your heart and say that, do you know, Isaiah's words are for me, and Handel wrote the Messiah for me, because this Jesus came for me. Well, as I draw to a close, let me just say, if anything I've said this morning has touched you and you want some prayer and you're a regular member of this church, please don't hesitate. You know the details. Get in touch with Bill and I and they'll pray with you. If you're a visitor to us and you want to connect with us in any shape or form, do contact us through the church website. But I want to finish this morning by, you know, just blessing you with the words of the blessing. This is a song that arose really out of the COVID pandemic, and it was interesting Abby saying how much she hated Zoom, and I understand what Abby was saying, but this film was actually sang by Zoom by contributions from many churches throughout the United Kingdom, who each did their little bit of a slot to bless one another, to bless each other, and to bless you this morning. So I want to say goodbye, see you next week. Well, actually next week and the week after, I've got Esther's going to come and share God's word, and Ray's going to share God's word. And also, if you're a church member, don't forget, got a church meeting on Tuesday with some exciting things to discuss. And there's prayer meetings coming up, so please have a look at those on the church notices. So it's goodbye from all of us. It's a bit like the end of the two Ronnies, but it's a goodbye. From Neil, from Mark, from Abby, from Onaway, and from Roy, and from others who are going to help in the production of this service. Bye, everybody.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you
and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
From heaven, this isn't second guessing. We know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children,
and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you.
Children,
and the children.